Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I'm the Reverend in Fuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake, BJ Shea. He's right there.
Whoa, is it time?
It is time. And running the boards is Joey Deese.
Hey.
Hey. On today's show, we will be talking with Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach about new Star Wars games. We'll be trekking to the other stars while BJ talks about Prodigy and Discovery.
Oh, I see what you did, Mr. Clever.
Another, a Earthbound alien. Returns. Very excited for this one. And of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more.
More?
Or just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Follow all of our socials because we post stuff on, especially on the Facebook, about things that we can't quite get to, or maybe we don't have enough time to get to everything on it, and some very interesting things. And if you want to send us a message about all of those things, you can do so as well. Plenty of ways to do all of that. Now, let's get right in with Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. You can find him at sknr.net. We got some big news, not only involving Star Wars, but also a little bit more information about what's going on with Microsoft and Activision.
Von Kallenbach!
Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed, that is sknr.net. And Gareth, we need to talk about some big news because it looks like Respawn's getting into the Star Wars game in a big way.
Yeah, Respawn's jumping back in with both feet. And this is really interesting because while saying they're coming to Jedi Fallen Order wouldn't necessarily be news, it had been widely speculated for a while that it was coming. Even as recently as last week, we were told the announcement could be imminent. What really got people interested was the second part of that. And if you remember, we've already heard about Star Wars games that are in the works. We've been told about the one coming from Ubisoft. We've seen some other ones, and people were starting to question, well, how does this all work with Electronic Arts and the exclusive deal they're under? Is this now being opened up to other studios? Are they losing the exclusive rights to it? How is this all going to play? And while that still hasn't been answered, because obviously, well, do all these come out after that? Respawn has really jumped into the picture, not only by saying there's a Jedi Fallen Order sequel coming, but there are two more Star Wars games that they're currently working on. We know one of them is a first-person shooter, but we don't know about the other. And, you know, speculation is running crazy because they, you know, the belief look at different genres, and some people will say, Jedi Fallen Order, a first-person shooter. No, it's not. You know, he's using his lightsaber, and when that goes to lightsaber combat, you often, while aspects of the game could be done from a first-person perspective, it's not a run-and-gun shooter. And what, as you pointed out, we talked about this off-air, what really makes this interesting is if you deep into Respawn, people forget that Respawn was founded by the people who created Call of Duty.
Oh,
and that's we right. Also know that they meet and fall, and obviously Apex Legends. So, as I joked with people, we kind of have an idea what we're going to get with Jedi Fallen Order 2 in terms of what kind of gameplay and so on. It'll be the continuing adventures, blah, 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 blah. And I said, they're saying first-person shooter for one of the games. And I joked and I said, Star Wars of Duty, think of it that way, or Call of Star Wars, whatever you want to call it.
Star Wars of Duty.
But if you look at it, Battlefront had one type of game, but if you think about how Call of Duty, at the time it came out, was at a time when everybody was called Doom and Quake clones, they took it in a different direction by saying, yes, it's a first-person shooter, but there is a deeper storyline to it that's character-driven in parts. Part of it was based in, at the time when they were in World War II, historical events. There were things like vehicles to interact with, gun emplacements, things that you didn't necessarily have. And it had a very good and engaging multiplayer, which really helped sell the franchise. And so you think about them taking this to Battlefront where, you know, some people have said the campaign and the storyline wasn't necessarily there. It was, you know, the Jedi Fallen Order games that had campaign and story and those kind of things, Kyle Katarn. So would we be getting something that is more than just a big Star Wars Battlefield experience and perhaps a more character and story Star Wars game that's a first-person shooter? So the possibility's there. And then who knows what the other one's going to be? Is it going to be a flight sim? Would it be an RPG? Could it be an open-world adventure?
Yeah, there's a lot with that. And I mean, even at the aspect, I mean, you did mention Apex Legends, which I mean, with Titanfall, like Titanfall has its own crew of people who just love it. I personally really like Apex, and it ties in because it's part of the Titanfall universe. And the lore behind that one is really good. They do stuff like comics and just a lot of bonus content outside of the game, so you don't need to know about it. But I feel like that's a space that they can do stuff with Star Wars lore that would get people super sucked into. And it's just basically just a very simple asymmetrical battle, battleground game, just the same sort of battle royale type game. I would love to see a version of a battle royale game,
Oh, no kidding. And just imagine, take the first Titanfall. Can you imagine being like an Imperial trooper, and instead of a Titan that you get to call in a walker or a scout walker to drop in and start, subjugating a local population?
Well, I mean, when you put it like that. Now, also,
or defending, depending on which side you're on.
Fair enough. Now, also, speaking of first-person shooters, due to like the entirety of the fact that bought or is going to be buying Activision/Blizzard/ whatever the hell else they are, Call of Duty was kind of put into that question because that's a bread and butter for the PlayStation. And so how is Microsoft and PlayStation and Activision and all of them, how are they approaching Call of Duty for the future?
Well, there's a lot of concern and speculation, and what Activision has done, by that, I mean Microsoft/Activision, is they spent a good part of the last week since the announcement trying to pacify the people that have these crazy conspiracy theories. And yes, they've said they'd like to look at some of the older franchises that haven't had releases in a while and see what's there, like Guitar Hero, that sort of thing. But specifically to Call of Duty, they've come out and said, look, at least the next three releases are going to be fine. Now, some people have said, and they've also gone further, said that, they don't have any plans to remove them from that platform. And it's an interesting twist because Call of Duty traditionally had a 2-year development cycle each game. And with the addition of extra studios coming on board to help out, we've been told it's around a 3-year cycle. So one can play devil's advocate. We already know the game that's coming out this year is well into the works. It stands to reason that the one that would be scheduled to go out next year, assuming they stay on the every year release pattern, is already well in the works. And it also stands to reason that the one that's coming out a year after that, probably at least in the stage right now where they're doing story outlines and features and the planning stages before they really get into the crunch of coding it up, depending on, I assume that they would start with a storyline and stuff like that before they start going into the artwork and the programming. But at least you could say it is in the works. So that just makes sense. But the question would be, okay, what do you do about the one that's 4 years from now?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the rough part of with that, because, I mean, sure, a couple years were good to go, but everyone wants to speculate what's going to happen in the far, far future. And to be perfectly honest, we just don't know. I mean, like, nobody knows. I don't even think anybody knows at this point.
Right. And then really to get crazy about it, what's the usual lifespan of a console? About 7 years before we start to hear about the other one. Well, we're a year into these right now. Let's go 3 years in the future. All of a sudden, we're pushing 4 to 5 years. And then it's already about the time people will start saying, well, what's coming next? What's 2 years down the road? What's 3 years down the road? And that's where I think the big push will be is, okay, the next Xbox, the next PlayStation, if they go that route, how do we handle it? And the other problem is, as I tell people, you have to look at it from a certain standpoint in that, A, it's in their best interest to have as many people playing these games as possible to put revenue into the coffers. What is a big part of Call of Duty in addition to the massive sales? People who buy the custom skins, people who buy the custom weapons. Do you really want to put tens of millions of people who are fiercely loyal to the PlayStation brand out of that revenue stream, because
yeah,
it can be dangerous to say, oh, they'll come on over. Well, you know, that's not necessarily the case, especially if Sony says we're going to find something to that potentially challenge Xbox. I mean, let's be honest. We've talked about that there is kind of a love-hate relationships in the community. If somebody does come up with a solid rival, that could certainly mix things up. So it's in their best interest to make it as inclusive as they can for now.
Absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But I mean, speaking of all of this, how is Microsoft and PlayStation doing after they've announced all this news? I have to imagine that everyone's out there buying Xboxes because, well, you're going to have to, right?
Right. Well, that's what you would think. But the industry analysts are saying quite the opposite. Ah. What is funny is that while the Sony stock reportedly threw after the announcement, I have seen several analysts come out and say the PlayStation 5 is still expected to outsell the Xbox consoles on a 2-to-1 basis. And this is, of course, assuming once supply catches up, but they're saying over the lifespan of the console, which again comes back to the issue that we had just discussed. That is a huge market that you do not want to exclude from your revenue stream. And then the big question is, what's Sony going to do? Well, we already know one thing. They've got a new generation of VR in the works that many people think is going to be out by the end of this year. Microsoft, as we know, currently does not have a VR platform for their system. Mm-hmm. Sony has already said Horizon Zero Dawn has got a VR game in the universe coming for this new system. What else is out there? Well, we know they've got God of War. We know they have the things like The Last of Us and Uncharted. And while those have kindly zipped away to remastered versions, we also know that there is an Uncharted film coming, and there is a Last of Us TV series coming. Will this generate interest in the franchise and generate new sequels that are going to be exclusive to the Sony platform? Will Sony say, oh, you know what, we're going to keep the trend of putting things out on PC going forward? You know, this could give them a hammer. They could go, literally, they could go to Microsoft and say, okay, if you want this, this, and this to appear on PC someday, we have to make sure this, this, and this appear on the PlayStation down the line. So it will be very interesting, and it all comes down to, if you have the market share, you've got the power, and if you have exclusives that people want to play to go with it, then you have a hammer.
And it's a good point with all of that, just to show, you know, showcase to all the doom and gloomers out there that, you know what, both consoles aren't going away, and it'll be interesting to see where everything goes. But I mean, I feel, to be perfectly honest, like it's not the end of the world, so to speak, in console gaming. So, I mean, everyone's got to take it with a grain of salt at this point in time.
Exactly. I mean, look, Titanfall, plain and simple. First one was an Xbox PC exclusive. They learned that second time around, we made a big mistake excluding it from the PC, from the PS platform. We're not doing that again. Open to everybody, and look what we got from it. Apex Legend, which expanded the platforms even more.
Yep. Yep, exactly. So, yeah, everyone out there, just don't feel you're all Chicken Little. The sky isn't falling yet. Have fun playing your games while you still got them out there. And keep track of what's going on by going to Skewed and Reviewed. You can find that at sknr.net. Thank you so much, Gareth. Again, like we always say, Gareth Von Kallenbach can be found at Skewed and Reviewed. That is sknr.net. Now, going away from Star Wars and into Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's two shows that you've been watching, which is Discovery and Prodigy, and how are those going for you, Beej?
Well, this is going to be the land of Star Trek forever. They released a whole bunch of stuff telling you, like, okay, here's when all the series are coming out, and it's going to be back to back to back to back to back Star Trek, it looks like, for a very long time.
Whoa, really?
Because Discovery is currently on a break, coming back on February 10th, had a great mid-season finale, which really looks like there's this anomaly, a dark matter anomaly that's just intentionally destroying planets. It seems like it's being manipulated by somebody. It's not a random occurrence thing. So this has been really the big baddie of the season, and they know that it's coming from some sort of force, and the force is outside of the galaxy. So they're like, we don't know who the hell's doing this. We may have never met these people before.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a challenge, like, okay, should we be peaceful and try to approach these people, or should we be malevolent and try to approach these people since they've already sent this horrible weapon? But so that's where they are, and they're trying to figure that out, and we'll find out on February 10th when they come back. And Prodigy also came on for a little bit and had a couple of episodes, and so like a lot of shows, it seems like they're going to give you a couple here, a couple there, but you know, there's always something on that's new Star Trek, it seems, on Paramount. Picard starting pretty much right after Discovery ends this year.
Oh, yeah. Picard's still coming back. And the big one with that is Guinan's coming back, right?
Yeah, that was the big news. We also heard that this is going to be the second of the three only seasons of Picard. Patrick Stewart said, yep, third season's going to be the last one. So,
well, I mean, he's getting up there in age. I can understand why, you know, maybe not filming a series, which can be really taxing on people, why he would want to maybe not do that so much.
Well, he claims we always were going to do a three season thing. That was the whole thing. That was our plan the entire time.
Show.
Then Strange New Worlds with Captain Pike supposedly is going to be coming on right after the end of Picard. So that is around May time. So it is just, and then Lower Decks is coming back. And then before you know it, it'll be like, hey, it's a new season of Star Trek Discovery, which got renewed for season 5.
Wow.
So it is going to be all Trek all the time. It's pretty exciting.
Just the simple fact that they've been putting out so many of those, you'd think that it would be a Star Wars Disney Plus thing. But you can find this on the Paramount app, right?
Paramount Plus, yes.
Yeah. Paramount Plus, that's right.
And Star Trek Prodigy, if you haven't checked it out, it's a kid's show. It's a Nickelodeon-based show. And I don't know if it airs on Nickelodeon, because I only watch it on Paramount Plus, but they have that little orange, you know, Zeppelin flyby, and it says Nickelodeon. This is, I mean, even though it's a kid's show, if you're a Trek fan, why you're going to love this? Number one, Kate Mulgrew does a fantastic job as a hologram version of Janeway. That's worth it. And number two, the artwork is it is beautiful animation. It is some of the most beautiful animation I have ever seen, to the point where it's like, wow, I feel like I'm watching a live action show when it comes to like just some of the visuals that you see. It's just gorgeous. The characters are kid, you know, they're very kid-like, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of Trek that's injected into this show, which is really cool. But it's also for a person that's never, ever heard of Star Trek. So
oh,
you can
that's
start
great.
Fresh. So they've done a great job with this. And there's an episode called Kobayashi, which is, if anybody's a Star Trek fan. It's so funny because there have been two episodes with Kobayashi in the title this year, one with Discovery and now with Prodigy. But this is a really sweet, nostalgic episode. It's all I'm going to say. Let's just say some old favorites come back. And that's all I'm going to say.
Nice.
And it is very, very well done. So Paramount Plus, Star Trek Prodigy, check it out, man.
And it's also on Nickelodeon as well. I did check that and make sure. So if you don't want to get the Paramount Plus, you can still watch it on the old cable channels right there if you got that.
And if you're a Trek fan and you got kids, good way to start them, especially if they know nothing about the universe, and you will love it too.
Just a couple of days ago, this was a big one. I didn't even realize it, but Sci-Fi, I had just forgotten about that they were coming back for a season 2, but Resident Alien returned this week on the 26th of January to Sci-Fi, and this is a great show. BJ, you actually hit me to this show, and it's because it's got Alan Tudyk as an alien who wants to destroy humanity.
Yeah,
he's been assigned to destroy humanity, and unfortunately, his ship has crashed, so he's had to infiltrate to kind of figure out how to do all of this, and I don't necessarily want to say hilarity ensues, but I mean, it has some really funny and some sweet moments, and I'm glad that it is back for season 2.
Yeah, I am too, because Alan Tudyk is just he's fantastic. I mean, playing the fish out of water, he does so well.
Yeah.
And it is so hard to, you know, you really root for him, even though he's such an a-hole, even though he wants to destroy every human being. He ends up really getting involved with the people of this town, and all of a sudden, the longer he stays in human form, because his species is able to mimic whatever they want to, but they also take on all the characteristics of what they're mimicking. So he's becoming human and realizing his race of beings just didn't understand what these people were like.
He's learning emotions, and that's really bothering him.
So if you wonder what's happening, I'll just tell you what they're saying. Season 2, episode 1 is Harry the Alien is back on Earth, but doesn't remember who he is And that's now he's
going to. Oh, no.
Now he's going to. Because he left with the little kid, which
that's
was the.
That's right. I forgot about that. The little kid decided that he wanted to go along for the ride there.
And the little kid, and I forget who the kid's name is, but he's fantastic. Is he and also his friend and the two little kids,
they're
both.
Great.
They are so good at outwitting Harry the Alien that it is just, I mean, it is so fun to watch. I like the show a lot. Some people, you know, I don't know. They I don't know if they're what they're looking for, what they expected, but I just think Alan Tudyk is at his best, and I'll watch anything that has Alan Tudyk at his best. And
it,
so,
yeah, and it's Judah Prenn as Max Hawthorne. And,
he's so good.
Yeah, he's really good at that. Like, and really, I really enjoyed the show. I wasn't too sure if I really wanted to get into it, but I really did like it.
And another bonus for all of you old Trek fans, especially Star Trek Voyager, old buddy Tom Paris, Robert Duncan McNeil, is the producing director of this show. So that's another cool thing, because, I mean, who doesn't like to see Tom Paris do good?
Exactly. I love it all. Let us know how you feel all about all of that.
Side note, if you want to see Alan Tudyk at his best, you need to see Encanto.
Oh, really?
He plays another frickin' bird.
Oh, okay. I was like, didn't he play the chicken in Moana?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And like it's not like a talking bird either. It's just another frickin' bird.
It's on my list, Vicky. Yeah. My wife, I've heard so many people. Vicky's been giving me such a hard time. My wife and I will be watching it maybe tomorrow night. We'll be watching Encanto. Well, so many people said, what are you doing? Watch this movie.
It's going to be one of those where he cries, BJ cries for this one.
Yeah. It's a lot about.
I already know. I've heard people say they've cried. I mean, like, all right, I'll have to watch it even though I'm going to need the Kleenex.
So I need to rewatch it because I watched it with my mom. So we put it in Spanish.
Oh.
So I feel like I miss a lot of what, one, because I know English more than Spanish, so there's probably little things that I didn't grasp as well. So I'm going to rewatch it to see if anything's different for me. But you are going to be singing the songs, whether you want to or not, because they're going to get stuck in your head.
Yeah, I heard one of the songs from that has surpassed Let It Go as like the most popular Disney song.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it is about like kind of getting over generational trauma, like getting it to stop at your generation, like not continuing on with that cycle.
Oh, dear.
But in a really well done way for children to understand, great for adults to see. My mom really liked it, so I can't wait to hear what you and your wife have to say.
Excellent. Well, since we're talking about movies right now, I guess it's time for...
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what do you got?
What month is it still?
Oh, no, it's still January. I mean, until Monday. So I guess we're getting the movies that you might not know about?
In the words of my 3-year-old brother...
Oh, no. Here we go.
Okay. I should say, there is one movie that looks interesting, because it's a documentary.
Okay.
But that wasn't the first one on the list. The first one is one I know only because I follow Alicia Silverstone on TikTok.
Oh, really?
I do.
Okay.
It's called The Requin, and it's basically a sharky movie. It's
a sharky movie?
Like a Jaws type of thing.
Oh, okay.
It's like there's terror in paradise when Jay Lynn, played by Alicia Silverstone, and Kyle, played by James Tupper, arrive at a remote seaside villa in Vietnam for a romantic getaway.
Is it called Requiem? Is that what you...
Requin. It's R-E-Q-U-I-N.
Oh, I've never heard of that word. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. That's... I don't know what a requiem... That word.
Requin.
Requin.
Yeah. Maybe it's a fancy word for shark.
Yeah, it's not Requiem, that's for sure.
Requin. But yeah, it's one of those sharky, like, oh my God.
Oh, it's French for shark.
Oh, that's clever.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot more sense. I had to Google it because I'm like, I don't know what that is. Is that what they name sharks nowadays? And apparently in French, yes.
And so this is Alicia? Alicia's doing this?
Yeah, she's getting in the movies. Honestly, though, if you're going to watch an Alicia Silverstone movie that's a little bit more recent, I recommend the movie Butter.
Butter?
Butter?
Yeah, it's about the...
Oh, no.
It's about butter carving competitions.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh, it is a great movie. I'm not kidding you. I know it's not nerdy, but it has like a fantastic cast. It has Ty Burnell from Modern Family.
He's good.
What was the other one? What's her name?
She's gorgeous.
She's in House.
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde.
Wow, even Jennifer Garner's in this.
Oh yeah, she's married to Ty Burnell.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Ty Burnell is apparently like a famed butter carver in his like town. And
Rob Corddry's in this. I mean, the movie's like
Hugh Jackman's in it for a minute.
It's like 11 years old, but yes. I mean, out of the recent movies for Alicia Silverstone, I mean, yeah, sure.
Olivia Wilde plays a stripper.
Okay, yeah.
And she hooks up with Ty Burrell at one point, and it gets ridiculous. So she tries to just give Jennifer Garner's character like one-uppings. So she enters the contest, and when she realizes she's not going to win because Jennifer Garner decides to enter instead of her husband.
Oh, hey, don't ruin it for me. I mean, you tell me to watch it. You tell me the whole movie.
I love that we're talking about an 11-year-old movie instead of the movie that's coming out because
Laura Quinn. No.
Well, hey, if we want to talk about Ty Burrell, I totally forgot he was in The Incredible Hulk. And
oh, yeah, old school.
Totally forgot about that.
Really?
So that was a surprise. He was the therapist's boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's the Edward Norton movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, whoa,
hey. At least we tied it into something geeky there.
Well, actually, it's interesting. I wanted to ask PJ this since we talked about it last week.
The answer was no.
Well, I actually agree.
Oh,
at the end. You know, I have psychic power.
No, so the thing we were talking about was this list, I think, from Cinema Blend, where they were talking about movies that are never going to get a sequel that we deserve as fans.
Oh, okay.
And one of them was like The Incredible Hulk. So we had the Ed Norton version, and we never had the next one going on because Mark Ruffalo basically took over. And I was like, we don't really need. Like, I know they'll probably never do it. I don't think Hulk needs a standalone movie. He either needs to team up or just be in the TV show with like She-Hulk.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of agree with that one as well. So
I was sort of on board with that with the first two Hulk movies, but Mark Ruffalo has done such a good job as Banner and the conflict that I think it would be interesting. I think they really just. They didn't have the right writers or they didn't have the right... Even Edward Norton, I just feel like, wasn't the right guy to be Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo, he combines the angst, but also makes you believe he's that smart. He also has warmth. He was just the perfect choice for Banner, and I would watch a movie with him in
it.
All right. Wow, all right then.
Okay, yeah, so I mean, you do disagree.
But prior to that, Vicky, I'd be 100% with you. I don't need to see another Edward Norton movie or a Eric Bynum movie.
Definitely not a reboot by any means.
No, and please, never any Hulk poodles ever again.
No, more poodles.
And if you haven't seen, Disney Plus has put out all their one-shots on Disney Plus now, so you can watch them all in a row.
Oh.
And they sort of retconned a Disney Plus with the one-shot so that you don't have to watch the Incredible Hulk movie. But there was a tie-in, which I totally forgot, that they actually, it was one of the first tie-ins ever, saying, hey, here comes another movie.
Oh, wow.
And it was in The Incredible Hulk, but the one-shot fixes it up, and there's some beautiful one-shots with Coulson, which I never saw, so I've been binge-watching all of them.
Nice. That's awesome.
And one that led up to Peggy Carter's series, which I thought was really... So if you haven't seen the one-shots, if you never got a chance to watch them wherever they were originally, you can watch them all now on Disney+.
Seems like a better choice than some of these movies. Is there anything else going on with this that might be worthwhile?
There is one. So you guys remember all the shenanigans around this time last year with the whole GameStop... situation.
Oh, yeah. You mean all the money's trying to be made?
Well, apparently there is a documentary about this now. It's called GameStop Rise of the Players.
Rise, I tell you.
It sounds pretty epic, actually.
I mean, if you like documentaries, it looks like it's going to be in theaters, like select theaters and stuff, for sure, some around here. I'm not real... like into the whole stock thing myself.
But it
looks interesting.
And that's like one of those interesting parts because they say the rise of the players because it was literally people who were suddenly gaming the system that had only been available for like literally hedge fund companies. And just the fact that people were able to kind of realize what they were doing and really stop like short sales and a lot of that interesting stuff. It's players gaming the system, which I find super interesting when it comes down to that sort of stuff.
Go ahead.
I had an old radio buddy that basically called it legalized gambling. So if you're not into stock stuff, Vicky, if you've ever been into gambling, it's really, that's what it is. It's legalized gambling then, but people then rig the system, usually the very, very rich people. But like you said, Rev, the little guy turned around and said, oh, really? Well, let's see if we can rig the system.
There's a TikToker I follow who made a skit about this where he was playing like an older, you know, waspy woman. It's like, who told the poors how the casinos work? And that cracked me up. And that's basically what it is. Like all the common man went in and learned how to game.
Yeah.
The legal casinos.
Yeah, and took down a hedge fund company eventually about it.
Well, that's gamers, insane. Man, let me tell you about gamers. You know, even though a lot of gamers and geeky people don't have a ton of cash, maybe in some cases, they know how to game. And I remember a lot of people on the World Poker Tour were lamenting the young players like Joey D's coming in
and using math
in order to game. So all of a sudden, these older players couldn't use their ways, which was bluffing and intimidation, because you couldn't bluff Joey D's out of a pot if he was playing the math odds. He was just like, no, you know what? Even if you win, it doesn't matter. I'm going to continue this strategy all the time because I will win more than lose. And that pissed off a lot of the old WPT players. Mm-hmm. So do not mess with geeks, no matter what their income is, because they'll game a system.
All right, then. Well, I mean, there's a documentary to watch, or like even BJ said, hit up the Disney Plus and get caught up with all the Marvel stuff.
And it looks like the movie Butter, if you're interested, is on Hulu.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's, well, if it's a free movie, I'm in. I mean, free because I have Hulu or somebody's Hulu.
You have, yeah, a version of Hulu.
It's all kinds of shenanigans. If you guys do watch it, please let me know what you think.
I'm interested now.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.